Hey guys, welcome to Heist and Slice, a true crime podcast. One week we talk about a heist, the next we talk about a slice. I'm Shelby.
And I'm Nora.
And this week is a slice.
Yeah, it's my turn. But yeah. Before we start, we're sorry we've been absent. That would be my fault. I had COVID. Well, what we thought was COVID, but we don't really know what it was now.
She still had to quarantine for like 10 days.
Yeah. And I'm still kind of coughing and congested, so.
And I was too lazy to do a solo heist, so.
Well, it would have been a solo. I mean, we would have had a stand-in for me.
Yeah, but my stand-in fell asleep at 6 o'clock that night, so.
Well, that's fair, though. You all get up early and work early, so. Anyway, this slice should be a good one. It shouldn't be not a good one. People still die.
Interesting.
It's an interesting one. And it's going to be a short one. A very short one, because there wasn't, like, a lot of, like, nitty-gritty stuff that, like, I'll normally like to talk about.
But well, it's still interesting.
It's still pretty interesting.
Oh, gosh.
And Shelby really already knows about some of this. Well, probably most of it.
Yeah.
But we thought that it would be fun to tell you guys. So so we're going to talk about the true story of Chicago. And if you don't know what we're talking about the play. We're talking about the movie with Catherine Zeta-Jones. And what's the other one? Renee?
Zellweger.
That's a terrible last name.
Yep.
Zellweger?
Yeah. The original movie, Roxy Hart.
Yes, but I don't know that actress. I forgot to look it up. And there's several plays.
I can't think of what her name is.
Yeah. It was a black and white movie.
But the Roxy Hart story.
Yeah, and the Roxy Hart movie was actually a comedy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the musical kind of is, too.
Yeah. Well, I guess technically the movie and the play really is, too. Yeah. I mean, it plays off.
But it's kind of got a little bit of a heist to it, too. Yeah. Or like a con.
I kind of talk about it a little bit. So by now, most of us have watched or have at least heard of Chicago. But did you know that it was actually based off of true people?
Yeah.
Okay. I know you did because you told me. But anyway. Yeah. So Chicago, an Oscar award winning 2002. So I didn't realize it was that long ago. Movie starring Catherine Zeta-Jones and
Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, I can never remember her name.
And John C. Reilly.
Oh, and I love Richard John Gere. Yeah. Well, I put Renee.
And Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah is in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that. She plays the.
And she looks good.
She does. I think she looks good in pretty much any movie she plays in. But, so it's based on a 1975 Broadway musical, which was a Tony Award winning.
Yeah. I think it's actually considered the longest running American.
It is. I was going to say that. It was remade popular. During the OJ trial, like they brought it back during that, and it was one of the longest.
Because I think the longest is Phantom of the Opera.
Yes.
But this is like the longest American running one, because Phantom of the Opera started in London, I think.
Was it London?
Yeah.
Why do I feel like it's Spain? That's probably wrong. What's Spain? There's a musical that's from Spain that I'm thinking of. Anyway. The play derived from, which we've already talked about, a 1926 play by Marine Dallas Watkins. So this is where all this goes into. So Marie? Nope. Give me a second. Marine? That's hard for me for some reason. She worked as a reporter for the Chicago Tribune.
Wow, you're struggling with the words tonight. I am.
And her specialty was actually court cases. She actually did like 50 stories in her time there, and she was only there for a short while. Her most notable pieces of work, though, were for her coverage from Beulah May Anand.
Oh, Beulah!
And Belva Gardner. So they had some names. Belva was was known as Stylish Belva. And Beulah was named.
So she was probably Beauty. The Velma Kelly.
Yes.
And then the other one's the Roxy Hart version.
Yep, and this is where our story's taking us. So I'm going to start with Belva, because hers is... I had more information, really, about Belva. So Belva was born in Litchfield, Illinois, in 1884. September 14th, 1884.
Ooh.
Belva would later go on to inspire the character Velma Kelly.
Oh!
Known by some as Belle Brown, Belva was a cabaret singer and entertainer in her youth.
Ugh, I'd love to go to a cabaret show.
Me too. Or a burlesque show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love that movie. That's a good movie, too. Okay, mm-hmm. Anyway. Her first husband's name was Mr. Overback, and then they got a divorce. Very young. Back then, you know, girls married young. But anyway. But Belva then, I feel like I'm saying her name wrong. It's not. Her name is Belva. But I feel like I should be calling her Bella, but that's just me. Anyway, she married a second husband who was 20 years her senior.
Whew.
Yes. But 5 months after their marriage, William Gardner sued to have the marriage annulled, claiming her marriage to Overback was not completed yet. So he wanted to get out of it.
Oh, so he was saying she was still technically married to her first husband.
Yes. Belva went on to meet Walter Law.
So we're on to a third guy.
This is the lover.
Huh? We're on to a third guy.
Right.
Okay.
She bought a vehicle from him, so he was a car salesman. He was a decade younger than her, actually. Oh, actually, the last thing I read was she was 38 when he was 29. So almost a full decade.
So she went from like a 58-year-old to a 28-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Girl!
He was married
with... Gotta keep it open!
Right. He was married with a child, a 3-year-old child.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Oh.
But would meet 38-year-old Belva for drinks once a week. What seemed like a harmless friendship turned into lovers.
Yeah.
Well, they really were just friends at first, mm-hmm. but then, like, she made the moves.
Uh-huh. Just friends, my asshole.
Now, Belva was very charming. People would say, you know, first off, okay, so she was kind of risque.
Yeah, she was a burlesque person, right?
Yeah, and
cabaret.
Even though she was in her close to her 40s, like they said, she was just very stylish. She was very lavish. She loved lavish things. She wore big lavish hats with like detailing, rhinestones in it, and a lot of fur. And ooh, he just found that so very attractive. So on March 11th, 1924, Belva was arrested for the murder of Mr. Law.
Woo!
Yes. Mr. Right Law, yep, like I said, it just, like, anything that I read about them just went straight into, like, what happened.
I'm sure you found more information about the plays and the movies
than
you did.
Yeah, it was really hard. It was mainly about Miss Watkins, the one that wrote, like, the play and where Chicago really came from. Mr. Law was found dead in a car, sprawled out in the front seat. A bottle of gin and gun laying next to him. He was shot in the head. It went through the right side of his head and exited through his left ear. I forgot to write that in my notes, but I remember. Back then, no DNA evidence was able to be taken just because it's the 20s. But they were able to see who the car was registered to, which actually came back to Miss Belva Gardner.
Ooh.
So the police go knocking on her door at her apartment, and she answers in her little silk robe.
Oh, yeah. She got to put on a show.
She lets them in. She's like, come on in. When the police go into her apartment, they see a pile of clothes on the floor that are all bloody.
Oh, girl!
Yes. So they arrest her, of course, because she's got...
bloody clothes, right. And a body was found in her car.
Exactly. So I forgot to put this in my comments, but or in my research. But she told them that she had found. So she had two stories. The first story, she told them that she had found him in her car. Like they had been out the night before at a bar, partying it up. And then they went out. They were making out in their car. She had left for some reason, and then came back, and he was dead. And she was like trying to resuscitate him.
And she didn't call the police?
No, she went home, apparently.
Oh, okay. Because that's what I do when I find a body, is just go home.
But then her next story was, they were in the car, making out, and she decided to go home and left him there. He was too drunk to get out. And she tried to, like, play it off as though he was, like, depressed and really upset and just...
Oh, he suicidal? Offed himself.
Yes. So, one of Law's co-workers testified against her, stating that Law had confided in him, telling him that Gardner was possessive and that she had told him that she would stab him if he left her. He stated that Mr. Law truly believed that Belva would have killed him. So he was really trying to play it off as though, you know, she killed him. I mean, all evidence points to Belva killed this man, right?
Right.
Gardner told Marine Dallas Watkins the one who was the reporter at the time. Mm-hmm. No woman can love a man enough to kill him. They aren't worth it because there are always plenty more men.
I mean, not wrong. That's one way to look at it.
I mean,
that's my new life motto.
I can never love you enough to kill you because there's plenty more where you come from.
Somebody else.
Exactly. She went on to say, why? There was more to the quote, but I just paraphrased from that point on because that was the best part. She went on to say, why should she worry about a child basically loving her or leaving her? She was charming in the courthouse and on paper, obviously. She explained that having a gun and gin would make a dickens of a mess.
Mm.
Her defense was William her defense lawyer was William Scott Stewart, which is who...
Richard Gere plays.
Yes.
Billy Flynn.
Yes. He was very over the top, very...
Yeah.
Very flashy, very much like the publicity.
He's very charismatic, too.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of almost the point of a con man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, pretty much was a con man in the court.
So her defense argued that Mr. Law took his own life. And in June of 1924, she was acquitted from her crime.
Yeah, he did the old razzle-dazzle.
Yeah. In 1925, Belva rekindled her marriage to William Gardner. And in this
is the second
husband.
The second. The one
that... So the one that didn't want to be married to her because her first marriage was still intact. Okay. But she rekindled
so
that.
So after she murders a dude and gets off, he's like, oh, baby, I want you back.
Pretty much. In 1926, he filed for another divorce, claiming she was a drunk and abusive.
I can't.
On July 5th, he claimed that Belva threatened to murder him after catching her with another man. She was convicted for drunk driving in November of 1926. By 1930, her and Mr. Gardner moved to Europe, where they lived for a while, but then decided to come back stateside. December 2nd, 1948, William dies in Wilhelmina, Illinois. Now, I did not look up how he died. I should have because I feel like that sounds fishy, but I didn't look it up. I should have, but I didn't. Belva moves to Pasadena, California, and lived with her sister until she died on May 14th, 1965, of natural causes at the age of 80.
Dang.
So she lived her life. I mean, she went to jail for, what, a few months?
While they were holding her, right, yeah. To trial?
Yeah. But it was just it was a few months. It wasn't even like a year. It was just So then we're going to move on to Roxy.
Oh, Roxy, which is Beulah.
Beulah. And I don't know how to say her name correctly. It's A-N-N-A-N, Anan.
A-N-N. Anna. Anna.
I don't know. Anyway, she was born November 18th, 1899, in Owensboro, Kentucky.
Oh, I knew she was from Kentucky. I just didn't know where.
She was born Beulah Mae Sheriff. Sheaf. Can't read my handwriting. Sheaf. I don't think there's an R in that. While living in Kentucky, she married her first husband, a Lenotype named Perry Stevens. They soon divorced, and Beulah met car mechanic Albert Al Anan, where they moved to Chicago together. They got married on March 29th, 1920.
Mm-mm.
She became a bookkeeper at the Tenants Model Laundry, where she would eventually meet Harry, I'm going to slaughter this last name, Calisted? It's probably wrong. And the two began an affair. Yes, women were promiscuous back then. On April 3rd, 1924, in the couple's bedroom, Beulah shot Harry in the back of the head. According to her initial story, they had been drinking wine and Harry had brought over. They had gotten into an argument. Somehow there was a gun on the bed and both reached for it, but Beulah got there first. And then she shot Harry in the head while he was putting his coat and hat on. She played Foxtrot Hulaloo over and over again for 4 hours and sat and drank wine and cocktails while watching Harry die. She then called her husband and told him she killed a man that tried to make love to her. She was arrested for the murder of Harry Calistead? That's probably wrong. In the trial, Beulah's story changed several times. One story was that she merely acted in self-defense, fearing she was going to be raped. One account, she confessed to the murder, claiming she overreacted to him choosing to leave her. Her final story, however, was she had told Harry she was pregnant. He went for the gun, and so did she. They struggled, and she shot him.
Did she have the same lawyer as?
Oh, I didn't look that up. I think they did, though.
Now, in the movie, they do. So, I don't know if they did.
I can't remember. Yeah. I really can't. I can look it up.
Or but her up. Story is very close to in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
The one, yeah. The other one, not so much.
Well, when I was looking it up, it said that the reason why they deviated is because they didn't want it to seem something so close to this one. Anyway, so in the newspapers, they wrote that she was just too beautiful to be a murderer. Because she was, like, beautiful. Like, that's what they called her, was Beautiful Beulah. But, anyway, Albert stood by his wife's side throughout the whole trial.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled out money from his bank account, basically broke himself just to get Beulah the best lawyers. The day after her trial, after being acquitted on May 25th, 1924, she announced she was leaving her husband. She stated, "I have left my husband. He is too slow for me."
Yep.
End quote. In 1926, she claimed he deserted her, and then she divorced him. After her divorce from Anand, she married Edward Harlib, a boxer, in 1927. After 3 months, they divorced. She claimed he had been cruel to her and was awarded $5,000.
Damn, that's a lot of money back then.
Which is the equivalent to about $74,000 today.
Shit.
After this divorce, she was involved with a man named Abel Marcus, but Anand died of tuberculosis at the age of 28 at the Chicago Fresh Air Sanitarium. Damn. She was studying there 4 years after her acquittal under the name Beulah Stevens. She was returned to her home state, so she's back. She was
Kentucky, yeah,
for burial, and is buried in Mount Pleasant, Cumberland Presbyterian. That's not what my notes say, but that's what it's supposed to say. Church Cemetery in Davis County, Kentucky. Her grave actually marks a year earlier in death incorrectly.
Wonder why.
It's a misprint and nobody ever fixed it.
Hmm.
Yep.
Huh.
And then I just put in side notes that Maureen Davis was also born in Kentucky. She was born in Louisville, Kentucky. Lived a full life.
Nice!
A full good life, actually. There's a lot of information that you can find about her. She's done a lot of stuff. And she died in Jacksonville, Florida at the age of 78 of natural causes.
Dang. The Beulah story is very close to the Roxy Hart character.
Yeah.
But the one that they based Velma Kelly off of is a little varied. But it's a really good movie. Well, if you like musicals, or if you don't like musicals, it's still a good movie.
Right. Well, when I looked it up, it was mainly about, like, why they were based, like, why she based those characters on them, and why, like, they, one was different than the other. But the reason why she said that they took the cabaret dancer to a different crime was because it was too much the same.
Yeah.
And then she said that Velma Kelly, the one that is based off of Belva, those are hard names.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she was very flashy. That's just how she is. Point. That was how she was in real life. That's how she is in the movie. She's just very, very lavish. That is a good word that they used for her. Anyway.
But yeah, if you get a chance to watch it, you should. It's a very good movie. The original, I think, is just called Roxy Hart.
Yes.
It's not a musical. It's a comedy. It is black and white, and it is a comedy. It's pretty funny, too.
I watched bits and pieces of it when I was looking it up.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Or if you want to look them up, because they're beautiful women. I mean, but we all know that they actually killed these men. Let's just be honest here. I mean, they killed these men. They got acquitted because of publicity and for their looks. But I guess if we could get away with murder, wouldn't we?
I mean,
I'm not going to go murder somebody, but I'm just saying, for my looks.
Yeah, they'd be like, nope, she did it.
Right. Here you go. Here's your handcuffs. Good movie. Yeah. Good stories.
No, it was really good.
Based on real people. Should look it up.
Yeah. I cannot believe that movie came out in 2002.
Why do you do that every time? 2002.
Oh man. And you know what, I was gonna watch that last week.
I could not find it. I think I have to rent it.
Yeah, I have a DVD of it somewhere and I couldn't find it, but I was gonna rent it on Amazon for
it's
like
so
$2.
Good. So
it is
good.
So good. It's got John C. Reilly plays Roxy Hart's husband.
And any movie with John C. Reilly in it is pretty much,
oh my gosh,
chef kisses.
That Walking Hard.
You love that movie.
I laughed so hard.
I mean, I guess it's fine. It's not my favorite. That's like, my boyfriend and I had an argument last night about what Will Ferrell's best movie is, and I was like, hands
down. Blades of Glory.
No. I love Blades of Glory. It's one of my favorites, but my favorite all-time Will Ferrell movie is Night at the Roxbury with Chris Kattan. There is nothing better.
No. Blades of Glory.
Because what Blades is love? Glory. Baby, don't hurt me.
And Eurovision.
Eurovision's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. I would definitely rank Blades of Glory with Night at the Roxbury, though. Yeah. His older stuff's so great.
I don't know. Elf's pretty good, too.
Elf is pretty good.
And Step Brothers.
Anyway, we hope that you like this one, guys. It's a little shorter than our normal. Well, not really. It's a little shorter than our normal one. Than our normal. We're going to try to get back to normal. Life is happening to us right now, though.
Yeah.
Like, exploring new love.
Are you looking at me?
Yes, I am. Through these long, lavish eyelashes. Hey.
What?
Do you know why the fake eyelash was invented?
I swear you've told me this before. I know you have.
Since we're talking about burlesque and risque women.
I think it was to keep cum out of the face.
It was. They were called cumbrellas.
Yes, you did tell me that. Yes, to keep cum out of your eyeballs.
They were made by a prostitute. Yep. Yep. Well, we'll leave it on that note, I think.
All right. Well, oh, we have handles.
We do have handles.
We have love handles.
Oh, I've got plenty of those. Let's see. Our Heist and Slice podcast would be our Instagram.
Yes.
And then Heist and Slice, same way it's spelled here, on Facebook. Yes. And our email, a Gmail. Send us stuff.
@gmail.com.
Yep.
Yeah, bitches.
Well, we're going to go to bed now, guys.
Oh, gosh. I am so tired.
Have a good night, day, wherever you are.
Bye. You have to hit stop, not record. Stop.